There was first of all engaging the lay apostolate under the direct authority of the church or the bishops. In other words, the laity are indeed engaged in the apostolate, but so the hierarchy is directly controlling the apostolate. Apostolic work organized by the hierarchy and the laity are immediately and constantly responsible to the hierarchy for their apostolic work. Secondly, well, the laity are engaged in apostolic work, which has not necessarily been started by the hierarchy, but the hierarchy control the apostolate. It is an apostolate of the laity, but it is controlled by the hierarchy. And thirdly, and it's this third one, which is historically important, there is a lay apostolate which is begun by lay people, is organized by lay people, is controlled by the lay people, and all that they need is to be approved by the hierarchy. So the hierarchy approves over the 25 years of my working for the Holy See. How many lay groups I've told this to, look, this is not, say, the 60s or 70s. We're in the 90s now. Now, of course, the hierarchy have to approve what, say, is organized. But there is a breathtaking freedom given to the laity, such as, I must say this, had never been available in the history of the Church until the Second Vatican Council. And then, to top it off, because many documents have been written since this document on the lay apostolate, the Church traces the authorization which the laity have. It comes, so we are told, by their baptism and the sacrament of confirmation. So much so that the sacrament of confirmation is called the sacrament of the apostolate. And in one place after another, the needs, tremendous needs to be met. And if you will tell me, why doesn't the bishop do something? Why don't the priest do something? Well, I tell them, look, wake up. Wake up. Why don't you do something? What do you mean? Just what I said. Now the person has to know what they're doing. They're going to understand both their faith and the structure of the Church. Unlike Protestantism, we Catholics, of course, we are subject to the authority of the hierarchy. But what a difference between subject, being subject in different ways, and on this third level has been so much of the work that in my own priestly life, with God's grace, under the strong encouragement of the Holy See, having laity do. Why? Because they are supposed to do it. And provided the bishops approve. And then one more before we close and go on to the questions. And that is intermirifica. Of all the 16 documents of Vatican II, this, by the way, is a very short document. It is also the most neglected. The document's theme is very simple. So simple, in fact, it's frightening. God in His providence has arranged for the phenomenal discovery of the media of social communication in our day, in order we might use these media for the good of souls in evangelizing and catechizing. And my friends, it is not being done. Minimally. What we need, and the verb is need, television stations that are authentically Catholic, radio stations, and of course, the longer we wait, and the more fearful we are, the more brazen the state and those controlling the money will become. They make laws to a point where almost impossible for a believing Catholic to publicly even profess his or her faith. I repeat, the Church tells us the modern media of communications were provided by God as the means for bringing Christ to a Christless world. That is why, by the way, we have the two groups that, with God's help, I've begun to organize, the Marian Ignatian Catechists. We have our publishing house in Washington, and the name is No Competition, Intermirifica. Even as I say, as I've mentioned before, say to myself, Hardin, only God's grace will change the cheap, meaningless syllables of a sinner into such action on which the salvation of millions of souls depends. How we need ourselves to wake up to the providential age in which we are living and the duty we have to bring Christ using the media to a world that is starving for His truth. Amen. And now some questions. There's another box going around at any rate. Could you clarify the Holy Father's statement apologizing for past injustices? Well, I would have to see the exact statement, and especially in the language in which it was either first spoken or written. As you know, the present Holy Father is nothing if not a man who is deeply concerned about the rights of human beings. Not the church at large, but individual branches of the church. Have there been injustices? Indeed. Oh, have there been injustices? Are there injustices? You better believe it. And part of the heroism for some people nowadays in remaining faithful to the church is enduring the injustice that they are suffering, say, at the hands or the writing of some churchman. Well, then their faith to remain strong enough, remaining faithful to Christ's church, even though there has been injustice committed by individuals in the church. Could you elaborate on the recent vote of the bishops on the role of women in the church? Unfortunately, this past week, from Sunday of last week, until today, I've not had 7 minutes to myself. Have not had a chance to read any official statement on the role of women in the church. Does somebody remember? Put it down in writing. I'd appreciate it. By next week, I'm sure you'll get a chance to read the statement myself. Did Christ laugh? Why or why not? First of all, I might begin by saying we're not really sure. But since I'm answering the question, I can express my opinion. I do not think that Jesus laughed. What are you saying? I will just repeat. Speaking, as I said, in America, which is the longest living society in the world, the least working society in the world, you're also the most laughing society in the world. Laughter has become almost a part of our culture. My 14 years in New York told me there are schools of laughter. Did you know that? Our comedians and others are trained to make people laugh. I distinguish, of course, between, say, showing happiness, cheerfulness, or smiling and laughing. One reason I feel safe in saying what I have is because Saint Benedict, among the rules that he gave his followers, he warns his followers, I'm quoting Saint Benedict, tells them not to laugh. My gosh, what a killjoy Benedict must have been. Well, not so fast. Not so fast. In other words, laughter can be empty humor and not expressing the deep interior joy which we are to both have and show to others that we are happy. Have this passed around. Question: what should a CCD instructor do in the following situation? A priest insists that junior high students gather around the altar during a youth mass. Well, I would distinguish between what? Say, the CCD instructor may do, and what the instructor believes he or she should do. My strong advice is, and not just a casual statement, think it out, pray over it, even write it out, to convince the priest this should not be done. As I've said by now a dozen or more times in these classes, and my Vatican superiors tell me, most of your priests ordained since Vatican II in America should be re-educated. To which I answer, amen. Ignorance, just plain, undiluted, kindergarten ignorance. And not their own fault in many cases. In other words, the priests need to be instructed. And somebody had better instruct them. However, the instructor say, honestly before God, believes that his or her position is in jeopardy. And no matter how kindly or charitably or wisely the priest is informed, Father, I would rather not. I'm sure you don't realize, but I do. This is not a good thing for the children to do. If this would, I repeat, jeopardize the teacher's position or be almost humanly impossible to put into effect, may the CCD teacher say nothing. I would go on record as saying yes. But my recommendation is, next year, find another job. What's happening to the Catholic priesthood in our country is known to God alone. The de-sacerdotalization of the priesthood. In the name of God, whatever you can do, and you'll need to talk to priests. They need help. How they need help. So, thanks for the question. Supposedly, Martin Luther was sent away for 2 years before he was ordained because of a mental problem against the wishes of the rector. He was by votes of others allowed to return and later ordained. Well, I may have read this, but let me verify it. Let me verify it regarding Luther's condition and the fact that he had been sent away before he was ordained. I will say this. There are by now, I would say, a standard 12 biographies of Martin Luther in English print. There is one that is not in English, but in German print, which I believe is the most revealing. That brings out something that I did not directly answer. I would like to further verify, namely, Martin Luther's mental health, which this biographer seriously questions. Luther's mental competence, in any case, I will look into this and be able next week, hopefully, provide a better answer. Have you heard of the Isaiah 43 mission? And if so, is it a recognized missionary group of the Catholic Church? I wish I could always understand what's behind the question. Could somebody tell me what the Isaiah 43 mission is?
It's a group that's going around our church. Our church had it. And it's supposed to be doing or starting missionary work within the community.
Well, you do missionary work in the community?
Right.
And you follow?
Sponsored by our parish.
I see. Really, it's intriguing. I would like to find you provide more, would you please, by next week or somebody, more about Isaiah 43 mission. I'm more than curious. I am deeply interested. Thank you. Didn't you bring the list of the good and bad commentaries to the new catechism? No, I didn't. And there, partly not an excuse, but an explanation is, I have not had any time to myself. On the other hand, if I could ask someone in class, and while you might say you're the last person to do this, would you mind make sure that you remind me to bring the good and bad commentaries on the catechism to class next week? Would you please? Thank you. What if the laity tries to start a legitimate work and the bishop strongly opposes this? How does one practice obedience to a bishop who teaches heresy? Well, first of all, you just never tell a bishop that he's teaching heresy. In other words, Dale Carnegie holds How to Win Friends and Influence People. You may think that what he's teaching or even allowing is heretical. There are many ways of winning the good graces of, say, a bishop. Though in most cases, not so much the bishop personally, as the people in the chancery who have authority over some particular enterprise in which you are interested. In other words, it is very important to make yourselves a persona grata, acceptable, a good person, not a complainer, not an open critic. And if you yourself are the complaining type, get somebody else who is more shrewd than you are. Am I making sense? You get nowhere, and this, of course, includes authority, except by treating people with as much respect and benevolence as possible, and avoid as much as you can open, even occult criticism that could reach the person whom you want to say work under. And there's a real art in dealing with those who are in authority and who happen to be wrong. So, the hound is one practice obedience. I would say by practicing two virtues. And are these ever hard? Humility and charity. And I would add the virtue of prudence. You do not do apostolic work as a bulldozer. I don't have to be a Jesuit to say that. It's just good common sense. Is it possible for the Blessed Mother to appear to someone and tell them they erred in following the advice that was sought from a good priest, solid behind the Holy Father? Oh, it is possible, but not likely. And by now, as I'm sure you know, there are so many people, well-intentioned people, who believe they have our Lord or our Lady either appearing to them or talking to them, and that it's very hard to dissuade them. Once they believe that, say, Our Lady talked to them, are you questioning Our Lady? No. I'm questioning whether the voice you heard was that of Our Lady. That's all. And some people, oh, I have to say this, have a very fertile imagination. And piety, by the way, so far from diminishing, it tends to increase the fertility of the imagination. So, the odds are no. A good priest, solid behind the Holy Father. Here's what I would say. Anytime you think that Our Lady told you something which is contradictory to what a good priest, loyal to the Pope, told you, side with the priest and tell the voice you thought was Our Lady's. Sorry, my dear lady, I'm following the advice of my conscience, enlightened by faith. Oh. My nephew is in the Detroit area as a visiting student. His wife had a baby on November the 15th. When he checked with the local parish about baptism, he was told he'd have to wait a month for the next instructions, following completion of which his baby can be baptized. He'd like to have the baby baptized as soon as possible. Is it possible for you to baptize the baby next Sunday? Or we ask, can he baptize the baby himself now and appear for the instructions next month and have a conditional baptism when the parish allows the baby to be baptized? Isn't this delightful? again, I come back to what I said before. I was afraid the pastor would say 4 months. 1 month. But that's too long. Following this prelude, or this introduction, I'd be very happy to baptize the baby, but I don't think I should do it here publicly, especially after this introduction. Let me know. I'll either call up the pastor and ask him to do it, or tell him I'll do it myself. A gentleman from our parish has asked for your recommendation in regards to a beginning theology text currently published, if possible. Currently published, if possible. Well, this center will publish a book, as you know, which is a question and answer book on the catechism, which is as theological as I can make it, and I would call it a beginning theology text. Currently published, I have the proof pages. All I need is the time to finish the proofreading. Maybe probably before Christmas, but most likely early in January. Other good books, however, that are in print. Any books published by Peter Kreeft, also I recommend. When considering the properties or qualities of the glorified body, did some of the saints, because of their closeness to God, approach these qualities while here on earth, for example, by location, independence of food, sleep, and so on? Yes. Yes. A noted theologian now in Virginia claims he has learned that the Pentagon has satellite pictures of Noah's Ark on a mountain in Turkey, but because of military secrets, will not release the information. Please comment. My comment is, I don't believe it. Pardon me. How do we as Catholics, who conservatively follow the magisterium, help those persons who want to know the truth about their faith, who live in a society of errors? I say we have no choice. And this may be the first time, and I think it's worth spending the few minutes we have. We have more questions here. To describe this, one of my hopes for 1995, we have a little over a month before the beginning of classes next year. My own time, as you realize, and of course my energy too, are limited. There are just 24 hours a day. However, over the years, with God's grace, I've done, I think, my share in organizing various enterprises. I think this should be organized. In other words, various levels of organization. It can be organized information about the Catholic Church through correspondence. He can be writing persons who want to know the truth by telephone. May I ask, is there, to the best of your knowledge, within the greater Detroit area, is there any telephone system where you can call up and get good, sound Catholic information by calling in? Is there, that you know of? There should be. Would you agree?
Suggest that you, because of your position, you mentioned that a possibility to the Knights of Columbus. They're the ones with the money able to start it.
Well, I know them. I know both their ability and their limitations. I don't believe what I know about them it would be realistic unless somebody would undertake the enterprise and maybe have them somehow subsidize it.
Yes, sir.
However, this is not subsidy. This is work. That's spelled W-O-R-K. Work. In other words, we do have the truth. Where do you find it? What we need is both a place, and a way, and a method, and a system. For example, do we have in Greater Detroit one thoroughly bona fide, thoroughly Catholic lending library? Do we? In other words, we can talk about this, questions can be asked, and people like myself can answer the questions. Now one reason for these classes is precisely the question was raised here. But behind it, I'm just assuming, totally, completely assuming. Otherwise, I just would not be here. I'm assuming that you people will take it upon yourselves to use such knowledge that you have learned or are learning of the faith to share it with others and do so in some organized, methodical way. So, how do we, as Catholics who conservative follow the magisterium, help those persons who want to know the truth? Well, by helping them. And the last thing you ask is, what's in it for me? Just the opposite. This costs time, it costs money. And over the years, one of my tasks for the Holy See has been raising money for the enterprises which the Church needs. I repeat what I said when I began. Suppose by the beginning of 95, and one or two really zealous, sincere people is enough. Let me know. I'll share with you both the experience and the contacts that are necessary. I think it is a great responsibility we have to share the truth with others. The priests leave the altar to shake hands as a sign of peace. But recently a man was dying at Mass, and the priest said he could not leave the altar to anoint him. My God! will you give the church's ruling on this? I'll first repeat, my God. And of course, behind, I'm sure the priest's judgment, first of all, and I'm being very charitable, is ignorance, just stone ignorance of the importance of the sacrament of anointing. And the church ruling is so strong on this, leaving the altar, my heavens, a priest who's risked his life walking to a burning building with every likelihood of being burned to death. If there's any prospect of nevertheless successfully reaching some of those people and anointing them, he should do so. Even priests, laicized, not exercising the priesthood for 30 years, the church's law gives them all the faculties they need to absolve and remove whatever excommunications the people may have been guilty of, for dying persons, to provide them with what they need to reach eternity. I'm interested in the religious community that you are preparing to begin, as I am currently discerning a vocation to become a priest. Could you elaborate? I'd rather not do so publicly, especially at this time. For the one who submitted this question, see me privately after class. How can we differentiate between predestination and God planning and knowing all from all eternity? Well, that's what predestination means. It's not the predestination that any believing Catholic should question. We better believe in predestination. The whole question, as we've explained before, is whether we believe in absolute predestination, independent of human beings using their wills, or conditional predestination God foresees, and in that sense we may even say preordains our eternal destiny depending on how he foresees we shall use our free will, and God will not tamper with our freedom. Ignatius warns us, when we speak on this subject, do not spend too much time on this profound mystery. The important thing is, God wants everyone to be saved, and secondly, we have a free will. How should one react to the institution of altar girls at Mass? Be as patient and self-restrained as possible. And it may be to find that the spectacle of girls serving at the altar is very distracting or even disturbing. You may have to find a church in which you are spared that agony. Altar girls have been imposed as pressure, powerful feminist pressure on the Vicar of Christ. Pray for the Pope. And thank you for the questions. I think we've covered them. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father Downey, I think we have the two priests and the other priests here. Should be a blessing. And how about Latin, okay? Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen. Our next class is next Sunday, the 27th of November. Thank you.